The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires.
Hello and welcome to the Truck Driver Podcast. Matt Ireland hosts him once again whilst Dougie's away. Today I'm joined by a good friend of mine, the Mayor of Southend, Mr. Matthew Campbell. Matt, how the devil are you? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thanks, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Apart, I've got quite a cold still, so I do apologise to our listener if I do start sneezing, but I should do my best not to. Where are you parked up tonight then, Matt?
I am parked in the Glamorous. Let me think, what service is it? It's first one, is it Lee Delamere? Lee Delamere.
On the M4, wonderful.
Yeah, that's it,
nice. Nice big parking. That's about all I've got to say about that place, really, I guess.
Yeah, that's about the only good thing about it, and leaving.
Yes, motorway services aren't the best in the UK, as we both know, eh?
No, definitely not.
So, Matt, I wrote about your escapades the other year off to Spain and whatnot, but before we get into that, how did you end up in this wonderful industry of transport? Because if I remember rightly, I think your dad was a driver, is that right?
Yeah, he was a driver. He worked for a little Italian firm. They had a couple of lorries based down in Rome.
Yeah.
And he used to do antique furniture back and forth to the UK from Italy, which I think I'm told was quite a big industry back in the 90s. I don't know if it was some sort of tax fraud or what was going on there, but the Italians seemed to love old English furniture as well. So
yeah,
I used to go with him, and we'd spend our days sat in old warehouses in back roads,
yeah,
filling up a step frame with what looked like crappy old furniture.
Yeah, a bit of cheap MFI flat pack.
So I kind of got hooked on it from there. But incidentally, I've got three brothers who used to go,
yeah,
and they quickly stopped not going, and they got no interest in lorries whatsoever.
Really?
working the city, couldn't care less about a truck.
Perhaps they saw the light, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they got the right idea.
Presumably, obviously, with him working for an Italian company, it was purely just backwards and forwards, what, to Rome?
Sort of Yeah. Sometimes it'd be like 2 week trips. I remember sort of sitting outside places waiting for customs. It weren't like a regular thing. It was you'd go and you wouldn't know when you'd be back, really, but I loved it. You know, yeah. It sort of got me hooked on driving and hooked on going to Italy.
Yeah, fair enough. And he was driving what, a Turbostar?
He had a 190/36 Turbostar. Which, to be honest, at the time, I mean, I liked it obviously because I was into lorries, where else, but I do remember looking around at the 143s and the F16s and thinking, why ain't you got one of them? Especially when the version 1 come out. I thought, you're still driving that when the version 1 landed. And I thought, nah, this is, you've got to get a better job.
So did he stick it for quite a long time, then, I take it?
Yeah, he must have done that from when I was from 5 to when I was about 12, I suppose. And then he packed in that just kind of, a funny story, actually. Just before it packed in, he actually thought it'd be a good idea to take me and my three brothers and my mum down to Rome for a holiday in the Turbostar on a work trip, basically. So we was four up with the kids and my mum and dad. My dad slept underneath a trailer. And we all top and tower in the lorry. My mum must have had a bed, but I don't know where the others are sleeping. But it gives me, when I climb in that Turbostar now, I must shudder. I do shudder.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
What was he thinking?
Yeah, and also like with what we know nowadays as well, with like safety and
it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, but then people used to do it all the time, didn't they? I mean, I watched a video just the other day on YouTube of some old Martin truck stuff. This news reporter sat in this 112, I think it was, and he's just sort of propped himself right up in the corner of the passenger side dashboard, chatting away to the cameraman who's clearly on the bunk whilst they're driving up the road. You just think, there's no way on earth you could get away with anything like that
for obvious
reasons, you know. So there we go. So presumably, obviously, you know, that, like you say, that sowed the seed of interest to you. So presumably through school, all you want to do is drive a truck. So how did you get into the job?
Well, obviously, I was just, it was only ever one career for me, and I was just waiting to turn 21, unfortunately, when I was younger.
Same as me, roughly.
You couldn't drive, mate. I was doing it on my 21st birthday. Before that, I worked in a granite yard for like 4 years, and I was just, the lorries used to come in from Italy and tip the granite, and I'd be out there, like, salivating.
Yeah.
I'm a bloke coming with a 164, with Maserati driver. Must have been a 144, actually, red one. And yeah. Unfortunately, in the time that I sort of left school to get my license, I think that's when the job was taking a right turn for the worst.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But yeah, so I could come to my 21st birthday and I'd sit my test with our friend Kev.
Yeah.
Remember,
Kev Munn.
To his credit, he did give me my first job at Young's at Purfleet.
Yeah.
Doing a night trunk, which is, you know, got me in the driving seat, but it was definitely not what I was looking for.
No. I'm quite surprised you didn't go down the whole rigid route or anything like that. Was it just...
No, it's just straight to class one. I've obviously done class two and then class one straight away and then jumped in the... I mean, I'll say I was fortunate. I don't know, I haven't obviously had to look for a job for years, but same back then, you had to have experience to get a job, but you can't get a job without experience.
So, yeah, they'll catch 22, you
know,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just, you know, to get that job was handy. And they did put me tramping in the end briefly, which, you know, I still sort of vividly remember it and I was well happy about it, but... I was just desperate to get abroad, absolutely desperate. So I was just on the phone to, you know, everyone and anyone, and trying to chat up any drivers in truck stops and get some info and intel and get myself in a link span somewhere.
Yeah, fair enough. Were Young still going abroad at the time or had it all finished? Because if listeners aren't aware, Young's were, they were quite big into it, weren't they, back in the day? FP Young, quite well known, yellow and black, weren't they, if I remember, right?
Yeah, I think the remnants of them, the fact they'd been doing it, European, was still there. They had the four-wheelers and a lot of Euroliners sitting there, but they basically had packed in. They had a couple of wagon and drags doing, they were doing Rice Krispies, like weird-looking Volvo things, like massive, like, conversions on the front, and they were just doing Belgium.
Yeah.
But yeah, they pretty much, they'd knocked it on the head by then.
Right, fair enough.
So yeah, but I was chatting to a bloke in Lim Truck Stop one night, and I said to him about I went to European, and he said, "Why try Paul Matthews?" And I said, "Well, they do furniture, don't they?" He said, "No, they do fit." Exactly. Yeah, he said they do fit. Well, I was like, "All right, yeah." He said, "I've been up to Helsinki with them." So I got onto them, and then a couple of weeks later, I was on holiday with my mates down in Cornwall, and they said, "Can you come for a job interview?" My mindset was 100% committed. So I cut Lundy short. I was the driver. I said, "Lundy's being cut short, lads. I got an interview. I've got a B2.
Yeah.
So we rerouted on the way down to Littlehampton to get the interview. And I got the job on there. And to be fair, they sort of looked after me. I did have a bit of a good crack on there. I got to see a few places. And,
yeah.
You know, for a young lad, really. But I was a good driver.
Yeah. So, because I knew of Paul Matthews when I was working at Trans Am. And, I didn't realise quite how much they did abroad because I just thought they were more sort of in the UK, but they did seem to go.
Yeah, they do, but I think I don't know if they do so much now. But he wasn't interested in doing it. He just done it to keep customers happy. And he's like, I think his mainstay work is obviously the theatres in the UK, but obviously they kept drivers happy as well. You know, you've got 30 odd drivers and just chuck them a bone every now and then, didn't you?
Yes, yeah.
But he did. I did go all over him. I did went to Bucharest. Sweden, Spain, Italy.
Yeah.
You know, I got about them a little bit and I did sort of, wet my whistle with it.
Yeah.
And I really did enjoy the job and I'd kind of thought it's going to take, say, it's special for me to leave it here.
Yeah.
So I thought, but I did get annoyed with the weekends in the end. It's too much and it just sort of decimated my social life in the early 20s.
Yeah. Which it's very tough, is it? Because I remember that for myself as well when, you know, you want to be doing the work, but you also want that social life as well. And it's all your mates going out on a Friday night and you're not there. And it can be a little bit soul destroying, kind of.
When you're younger,
you do, mate. Yeah, you really do. Yeah. I always remember thinking, I'm not going to sleep in a truck on a Saturday night. No, I'm not doing that. And then by the age of 18, there I was sleeping in the yard on a Saturday night, ready to leave early on a Sunday morning to go to Switzerland on my first trip to Swiss. I'm just like, right, well, that's that then. My social life is gone.
Yeah, well, I had one. I was parked in, they used to work Saturday nights doing the theatres, and I was parked up in Rugby Truck Stop on Sunday afternoon. No one else in there, just sat there looking out the window before iPhones.
Yeah.
You know, just a DVD player, a And I knew there was a party going on at home, et cetera. And I thought, this is it, is it?
Yeah.
So I got myself into.
But yeah, yeah.
That's kind of when I've got my own lorry. I thought, I'm not doing, for the, well, certainly for the, initially, I thought, I'm not doing weekends away. That's the main thing, but it didn't last too long.
No, no.
But yeah.
So that's, so you went straight from Paul Matthews to being an owner driver, did you?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Kind of, I was, my dad had a couple of vans doing like house deliveries and furniture with the contacts he'd made doing the furniture from Italy.
Yeah.
And he upgraded to a 7.5 tonner. So he got his national CPC.
Yeah.
And I thought, just the best him, I'll get me international. just for saying do, basically.
Yeah.
So I'd done it. And then I started, I'll tell you what happened. They subbed me into, Paul Matthews subbed me into Redburn Transfer for a tour. And I think it was War of the Worlds. And I met Simon Sargent and Troy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And bearing in mind, obviously, I've grown up going with my dad everywhere in lorries and things like that. But yeah, he'd never worked for a UK company. In my childhood, he'd worked foreign companies. So I never was down at Hawley Yard on a Saturday morning chatting to people. And, you know, the only real lorry driver I knew was my dad, really.
Yeah.
So I never met an owner driver, not really, not to really, you know, chat to and bend their ear or whatever. And obviously I had a month with Simon. And I just thought, these two are having it right away. this is where I need to be. This is the path forward.
Yeah.
But I kind of, at the same time, I thought, when it come to buying my first lorry, I thought, can't pigeonhole myself with a low ride.
Yeah.
So I bought 6x2 but also at the same time.
What was it, a Volvo?
Volvo. Yeah. Really good lorry. I was really lucky with that. It was come off King's Haulage out of Chelmsford. I think they're wrapped up now, but used to do bag sand. So it only,
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, when I spoke to the salesman about buying it, I said, it's done all heavy work, but it's only done half its life empty. I thought, you know, it's always gone back empty. I thought, that's a fair comment, isn't it?
Yeah, true, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it was a good lorry, really. It was a lucky buy, really. When I see some of the people starting out now and they get the legs chopped out of them in the first few months with some sort of serious engine problem, you think, it could have gone that way for me. It's just luck of the draw sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you
took the plunge and went on your own, bought the Volvo. Who did you go and work for?
Well, this is the other thing. I'd been eyeballing these heritage trailers up and down, you know, and obviously my priorities at 21 or 23, sorry, were not what my priorities are now. My priorities were like, what truck am I having? What does it look like?
Yeah,
where am I going to go? And the money was like last, you know, so,
yeah.
Well, not quite last, but it wasn't
top of the priority list.
Yeah. But it was kind of a priority because I knew I needed to function in that. But I'd met I still talk to him now, Joe. I met him in the Belgium services when I was on Paul Matthews, and he pulled in with a black 530 DAF, and I said to him, he has heritage trailer. I said, you have a good living out of it? He went, yeah, Tom, it's great. I thought, brilliant. So I phoned up Heritage when I first got the lorry.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, come on down. I chat with him. I'm going to pick up a brand new fridge for him. And after about 2 or 3 months, even as keen as I was, I thought, this is not stacking up.
Yeah.
Looking good. I got hold of the bloke I met in the service, and he just started laughing about it. I thought, all right. Fair enough. It was a bit of a baptism of fire, really. But
yeah,
I think that was in the dying embers of having UK hauliers on from then. And a lot of them were old hands that had been out, you know, for years, whatever, and just probably just happy, you know, got the mortgage paid, just happy to get out of the house. That's what you're up against.
Well, exactly. Yeah, they knew the job and people and whatnot on it from doing it donkey's years. So, you know, to them, it's a piece of cake, and the money, again, isn't really that relevant sort of thing.
No, but I will say, I've never gone back to it. Well, I did go back to it from the next go, but that channel hopping, that's what I was doing, obviously. It's ruthless work. It's horrible, really. I think so, because I don't want to be too negative about it, but you end up having long days all the time, ferry movements and always sort of carry on.
Yeah.
So I come off of there, I met a lad on there, and he put me on, I don't know if I should, well, say if it was named here too much, but put me on with a bloke out of Gloucester.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of, another baptism of fire, because I was only on for a few months. He had all flash lorries, but it turned out in the end that, which is why I'm very careful now if people start looking for subbies.
Yeah.
Why are you suddenly looking for subbies? Well, you know, have you dropped them to a load of work?
Yeah.
Or something else going on, which is kind of what's going on then. They run into cash flow problems, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And I kind of nearly got my fingers burnt there. I was running scrap metal fridges down from Manchester down to South Wales. I mean, it was just necessity rather than what I wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the start of that. But
yeah.
Shall I keep going?
Yeah, why not?
All right, fair enough.
It must go upwards at some point, surely.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to sound too negative. Like I say, you only remember the bad, didn't you? Because it teaches you, I suppose. But
I guess so, yeah. Learn the hard way. But they could well be budding owner drivers listening to this. You never know who could help.
All I say is, if I wasn't so young and keen, and I'd had a family and a mortgage, it would have gone. I think it would have come to an end very quickly.
Yeah,
it's only because I was sort of committed. But I think I went from there, and I'd seen. Yeah, again, I've got the bug going up and down the motorways, looking at all the Nexco fridges going up and down with the flash lorries in the front. This is something I used to suffer from. I don't really suffer it from now. Looking over and thinking the grass is greener, and everyone else is having it away. But and I thought, so I went on there for a little while, and it was all right. But and I mean, another note, I will say that. I don't want to be too negative again, but yeah, working at Dutch are a bit to work for, a bit
full on.
I think politeness gets lost in translation, I think, as well, doesn't it, sometimes?
And that
grew a little bit old, but I think I got out just in time because they did go skin at the end. So
yeah, they did. Quite big time, didn't they?
But I think by the time that had come around, I was kind of looking at it, thinking I was earning a living. Do you know what I mean? But I thought I was giving up too much to earn it. I thought I'd do a few Spains before I knock it on the head.
Yeah.
And I went on for UKI doing the Spains. And it was all right. I enjoyed it. And that was the first time I'd done a weekend out since I'd gone on my own.
Yeah.
At Castets.
Yeah.
And I actually had a good weekend there. And it sort of paved the way for thinking maybe this weekend, you know,
it's weekends not that bad.
It's not too bad when you sat in the truck stop having a beer. It's when you're doing Saturday at Theatre Saturday night. You know, and that's when it starts getting a bit old.
Yeah.
So I've done that. And then, I'm going to rush through this, and I'm missing the details. I don't know.
No, not necessary. No.
Yeah. Well, I went from there to I've done about four or five trips, and I thought, yeah, again, this ain't really paying what it needs to pay. And then the same sort of time, Kersey freight trailers started appearing about.
Yeah.
And they had a load of box trailers, and then I thought, I'll give them a go. And I spoke to Dave and Jamie. They were quite, you know, nice people, and they said, come down and have a chat. I went down there and had a first sort of people I've worked for, you know, was face to face, and I liked them, and it makes things easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So we started doing Paris's out of there. I was doing all these garments out of Divan and out of Felix Stowe containers.
Yeah,
which is another big. I won't say a scam, but they from what I was told
going on there. Isn't
yeah, there was yeah. there was like 300 or 400 containers a week coming in apparently, and apparently it was something to do with Italy and France had quotas on the amount of garments they didn't allow in from China.
Right.
But UK didn't. So they just import them into Europe via the UK and then move them on from there.
Right, I see.
So that was quite a big job going on out of there. But yeah, that was a bit that was all right. It was all right. Yeah, Paris was just doing Paris, there's a lot of it. But then obviously I spoke to David, so I'd rather do Italy.
Yeah.
And I started doing Italy's for him, and that's when it gets better, I suppose.
I guess so, yeah. And here's a fun fact for you that you probably don't know, but when I first left school at the age of 16, I went to work in a little shipping office called Haven Logistics in Felixstowe, and Jamie from Kersey Freight used to work in there. So I worked with him many years ago. I don't think he remembers me, but yeah, Jamie Mannering.
Oh, don't put yourself down. I'm sure he does.
No, I have sort of contacted him occasionally through LinkedIn and whatnot. And perhaps he just doesn't want to admit to knowing me, maybe. But yeah, there's a fun little fact for you.
Well, if you're listening, Jamie.
Yeah, come and say hello to me at least.
But no, that was right. They've done really well for themselves, haven't they?
They have.
Built a big firm there. When I turned up to meet them that time, they had three trucks. One was a shunter, and two were doing Paris's, and they was washing the trailer when I turned up. I don't suppose they wash many trailers now.
I wouldn't have thought so. No, not the amount of trucks they've got.
No. But I've done a couple of years on for them, but it was all right.
So you end up doing your Italy, which you wanted to do.
Yeah, that was kind of where it gets good for me. Really, where I sort of started having weekends down there, and
yeah,
I was just really enjoying the job then. It was all I thought about when I got the load back to England. All I kept thinking about was, I hope I've got another export to go out when I get home. Yeah. Because I wanted to come back down here.
Yeah. Were you still in the Volvo at that time?
I had the Volvo for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was a good motor. I didn't really let me down at all. No, not really. No, yeah. You know, it was a bit juicy, which was it was a, you know, when you start working out in them long runs down a Rome and things like that, getting 8 to the gallon instead of getting 10 to the gallon. So
yeah, that makes quite a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It was knocking it out a bit. But yeah, I had the bowl, and then that was what happened. Yeah, then I started obviously thinking about all the event work and things like that and tours.
Yeah.
And I thought I need a low ride to make that happen. And I thought I'm not really running 44 ton anyway.
Yeah.
So then I looked for a low ride, and this RZA Suzuki DAF thing come up down at DAFs in Southampton.
Yeah.
And I was just, it's blue. When I say about blue, it just gets me going. I've got to have it. It's got blue and it's got shiny wheels. I'm having it. So I went and had a look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it didn't have a dual light fifth wheel, which was a bit of a nuisance at first. But yeah, I bought that, sold the Volvo. That went to Poland.
Yeah.
And then went back on for Kersey for a while. And then I got offered an event job down to Rome.
Yeah.
Doing like a teatro theatre music at Della, that you might know. I've been there once, but it was a bit of a bold step because I was basically sort of on for Kersey.
Yeah.
So then I had to go from regular full-time work to bring them up and saying, well, I'm not going to be back next week. And that can go, you know.
That
can
go either way, can't it?
Yeah, because the following week you go back and I'm back, they go, oh, and?
Yeah, sorry,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I done that, but I thought, I can't, I've got to do it. So I done it. And then I think, this is where it gets a bit vague because my memory starts to let me down a little bit. I bought a curtain side, XDFDS curtain side trailer.
Yeah.
And then started doing work for Dave and Jamie with my own trailer going down to Italy.
Yeah.
But whilst I was going down there, I was obviously talking to people and networking with other drivers, etc. And getting to know things. And I met another lad down there. He worked for a bloke out of Bristol. He's an old boy. His name's Chris. He's packed in now, so he won't mind me talking about him too much. But he was a... When I first met him, I met him in Crisio, and I started asking him about, you know, what's the best way to go? What's the cheapest way? Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Blah, blah, blah. And he just went, oh, I don't care about that. I just like driving my lorry. And I sort of instantly liked him. I thought, yeah, that's the way to look at it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I sort of, I was chatting to him for quite a while. And then he sounded like he was on a good screw over at Bristol. So I started working for them over there as well.
Yeah.
Doing the groupage. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was having a lot of weekends. It got to the point that coming up to Christmas one year, and I looked at it and I thought, I've got next week at home, and I thought, that's the first full week, like 52nd week I'm gonna have in the UK.
Wow.
I got right into it. It was good.
You must have been enjoying it.
To be honest with you, I mean, to say I enjoyed it would be putting it mildly. It was what I've been waiting for my whole life, really.
Yeah.
It sounds quite tragic now, but...
No, I don't think so. Because it's your passion. You want to do it. So, you know, why not? You know, I can't see why anybody would ever poo-poo somebody for doing what they want to do.
Well, it was great. You sort of parked up there talking diesel the weekend. People say, all they want to do is talk diesel in there. You think, yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same as me.
Yeah, I'll be leading the charge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I did enjoy it. But I remember coming down the Blanc one Saturday morning, and I was giddy at the thought of getting to Carizia. I'd say I enjoyed it more than going out drinking in the early, you know, late teens, whatever, with my mates. So I actually enjoyed kind of sitting in that truck park for a bit more and talking about trucks.
Well, Carizia was such an iconic stop, really, wasn't it? It's sadly no longer with us.
You know what? I wouldn't say even caught the back end of it, because obviously, you know, we can all up on about yesteryear, can't we? I can remember going to my old man, and I remember seeing the volume of English lorries over there then.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the first trip I'd had in Paul Matthews, I said to my dad, I think I went to Italy, I said to him, and my old man had been off the European scene for about 4 or 5 years at that point, and I said to him, I only see like say 6 English lorries. So and he sort of looked at me and no way. I said, I'm telling you, I only see like whatever, and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it went downhill pretty quickly, didn't it? But I remember being in Crisio 1 week and there was about 50 English lorries there, and it was unheard of, really. Well, not unheard of, but it was a lot for the time.
It was unusual, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I'd like to think you're probably lucky if you see 10 sitting down there, it'd be a good weekend, don't you think?
Yeah, I can't imagine there's probably even that many, sadly. But
No.
But just for those who've never been there or perhaps not done European, how would we describe Carizio? The old one
was it shut down, and you got the Lulu Anglo bar, little pocket, didn't you? But the old one was just like a big restaurant. It's a very large
restaurant.
Yeah,
it's a big old house with a very large restaurant.
And the The parking, showers, there was ample parking as well.
Huge parking area right next to the motorway.
Yeah.
And good food. Yeah. You could actually have Pete. Was it you or was it somebody else who fulfilled a dream of having pizza for breakfast, dinner and tea?
Oh, no, that wouldn't be me, but I've got a friend who probably would. I know the first time I went in there, I said to her, I'll have the lady. I said, obviously, first time I went in on my own sort of thing. I said, I'll have a pizza, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, I said, I'll have a, how did I do it? I said, I'll have spaghetti. And she's like, all right, yeah, yeah. I said, then I'll have a pizza. And she's sort of looking at me. And I couldn't, she's saying something. What's the matter? I'm like, I couldn't, you know, it's a frowned upon thing over there. That's too much food. But I was just, I think somebody else had to pull me in. Said, you're not meant to eat like that.
Yeah.
Right. Which, to be fair, I did put on a bit of weight when I first started going there.
I'm not surprised.
You can't be eating pasta twice a day and, you know, all that other stuff. I did enjoy it because it was good food and, you know, you could just sit there drinking and talking about trucks all weekend, basically. Yeah. And the weather was good.
Yes, it was. It was a great place for a weekend. It really was. So, sadly missed by those, I guess, who are still doing it, really.
Yeah, it's also because you've got everyone's sort of had one focal point. Now people are a little bit scattered here, you know.
I mean,
I've sort of broadened my horizons a lot since then. If I go down there, there's got a few other little places I like going, but a lot of time you will just be sitting on your own, but it's something you make your peace with, really. So, you know, there's a place at the bottom of the Lake Garda there, Pesquera Delgada, the restaurant there. And, I always make a bit of a beeline for that, but it's funny because I went there and I pulled into the, and there's been a few places like in Italy where I pulled in and I've looked in and I thought, I've been here.
Yeah.
You know, I've been here when I was a kid, like 5 or 6, but I didn't remember it until I didn't know about it. But yeah, that's one of them. But so what did I do after that? But at the same sort of time, obviously I had the low ride and I thought, I've bought this low ride for a reason, you know what I mean? So we started getting into the touring companies, et cetera. Yeah. I was in Campo Galliano. I got a phone call back from Fly by Night, Paul there, and he said, got Lady Gaga and out Monday.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, brilliant. You know what I mean? It was like Thursday.
Yeah.
I was like 3 months or whatever it is, you got me in Bulgaria. And I was like, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So I took the old man to meet me and double man me and things like that. And we made it happen. But that started compared to your career, a little bit of touring I've done. But yeah, that's another thing in itself, isn't it? That's all changing.
Yeah, yeah, that's evolving as well with the world we're in. So you're off on Lady Gaga for three months?
Yeah, I think maybe 2 months, but the first one was Sofia. We had to punch on down to there. And then that was the only sort of real tour I've done. But it done all them Eastern European countries, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, all that. And I got it all out of my system quite early. But a lot of them big tours don't go to them. They don't do them all that,
do they? No, not really, no. It's the smaller arts tend to go east. Yeah.
But no, that was, so I got, you know, I was well happy about doing that. Yeah. Driving down there in my own lorry on tours. You know, thinking I'd sort of ticked all the boxes and cracked it. It is good work for an owner driver because you get fed and watered, don't you? And
yes,
looked
you do,
after,
yeah.
The lorry's been paid for, you're not stressing it out, and you get to see a bit.
Yeah.
But it's just doing that sort of time away now. Sort of. It's a bit too much sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. I mean, like the longest I ever did was 6 months solid on just one job. Came back, I think I had 10 days off, then went back out for another 3 months.
I thought you was on my Facebook with him years. I thought you was a lifer. I thought he'd be, you know, getting his gold watch here at 65.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I mean, COVID came along and the world sort of changed, you know. And
yeah, a lot of people had a re-evaluation then, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said to a lot of people, never say never. You know, things
all right, seriously?
things always change. So, you know, but at the moment, it just doesn't quite suit as much. And again, like we just said, the job has changed. Obviously, there's no Russia or Ukraine at the moment, which is where I used to love going the most.
Yeah.
I really loved going there. Most other people didn't. They hated it, whereas I just thought it was brilliant. So, you know, that's not happening. A lot of the regulations have changed and the whole ethos seems to have changed a bit as well, and sort of not for the better. But, you know, I do keep thinking about going and have a little dabble and, you know, just catch up
with driving, maybe.
Well, I have thought about it. Yeah, just go out and do a little couple of little jollies. You know, just catch up with people and have a bit of a crack, and and whatnot. I have spoken to a few people about double manning, but might even do it on the buses, maybe just financial reasons more than anything.
I was just about saving more money, isn't it? Yeah,
simple as that. So, which always mystifies me, you know, that the bus drivers in the touring world are on quite a bit more money a day than the truck drivers, and it just never seems to sort of equate, really. I suppose I know they got the crew on, but you know,
I don't know. It's a lot more pressure, isn't it, having people in the back of the bus?
True.
You know, it's like when you're tired and you're slapping your face driving down the road.
Yeah, and you've got the production manager or the band on the bus. Yeah.
Listening to the Rumble Strips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that first tour, and I think I've dropped out into a second one after that, and financially it was more rewarding than the Italy's, which is obviously, you know, good. And then I carried on with the Italy's when it's quiet, or the event where it was quiet, but I was always trying to get myself into the next tour or whatever, you know, next event job.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think, I've done that for a couple of years. And then basically it come around, I'd like a 5 or 6 year period where I'd tour for the summer, basically, and that sort of made the year, really. It made a pressure off for the quiet months, you know.
Yeah.
Or some of the other work I was doing. And then my old man at the same time he bought a 12 tonner, and he was doing little bits of event work, but he was struggling to work the lorry when it was quiet, because attractive, you can just drop a trailer and go do sales, can't you?
So you can,
I was trying to talk him into buying a tractor unit. I said, buy a tractor unit and come do some of the work I'm doing. And he was in his late 50s. He said, I was just not interested. I was like, all right, fair enough. I'll buy a lorry then.
Yeah.
And I'll capitalise off it. So, I bought him a Merc. It was only a couple of years old. And I was kind of, I say, I shouldn't give him any credit, really, but my mate bought one.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just kind of thought, he emboldened me. He's like talking me into it. Get it. And, you know, it was a big step to buy that second. Even though it's for my dad, it was still a big step to do.
Yeah.
And I'd done it, and it's made life, it was a good move, really. It was a good move. Sort of, but I probably wouldn't have, you know, I needed a bit of pushing in that direction.
Yeah.
And he come on, we were doing, and at the same sort of time, obviously at this time I had the white one, then I bought them out of Dafs in Holland.
Yeah.
But I was doing a lot more UK work now, because I'm in Dover and didn't want to be away, etc. But I'd take the hit in the summer and, you know, go away still.
Yeah.
And my dad come up, my dad started putting me, he had a low ride, so I was putting him into little event jobs here and there, or tours and things like that. And he carried on, I was just trying to, it's a recent issue, you got to remember more. Yeah, we knocked that on the head. No, it got to a point where the lorries needed replacing. And I said, let's look at really what we're doing with the lorries here. We're doing enough event work to wear little wheels, you know.
Yeah.
And I went a bit of a different direction with it, because we started just doing a bit more. The problem with them 4x2s is I'd much rather a 4x2, but when it goes quiet, your options are limited and you panic a little bit. And you know what I mean? Whereas if you've got a 6x2, even though you might not need it, just having that flexibility.
You can do anything, can't you?
You can relax a little bit more, because if worst comes to worst, that'll be a container, it'll be on the back.
That's right, absolutely. But you can't do that with a 4x2 as easily, can you?
No, definitely not. No, especially like ferry trails. I mean, and it was a bit of a problem, and I did think, as much as I like them, they're a bit of a nuisance, really.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what happened then. So, this is getting on for COVID now. We're getting on for COVID now, aren't we? So,
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, heading that way. And I'd what did I have when it started? I still had the DAF. No. Yeah, we had the DAF and the Merc. Then I bought my dad's Merc. No, I bought my Scania first. Sorry, I bought. Oh, that was it. Yeah, we're going to the Scania. There was a lad there I know, and he had one of these, basically.
Yeah.
And I see him one night in an Amazon, and he pulled in. Looked, and I looked at him, and I thought, I've got to have one of them. I've just got to have one.
Yeah.
So that was it. Just head down then.
And it's quite a highly spec Scania. Yeah, is it for those that don't know you or have not seen the truck, what is it? What are you currently driving?
660S twin tag
long wheel drive.
Right hand drive.
Oh, is it? I thought you were left hand drive.
Oh no, this is Scania UK supplier, mate. This is
right. Okay.
This is it. I kind of looked at it and I thought, I've been at it 12 years, 13 years at that point. If I can't go on now, then doing something wrong with I. So
yes.
So yeah, I pulled the trigger. Actually, and truth be told, I wished I'd bought 10 of them because it was just after that they put all the prices up.
Right.
And when this arrived, I could have added it out the door for another 20 grand as soon as it rolled up the forecourt.
You could have made a fortune.
yeah. But you know, you never know, do you?
No, that's right. Absolutely.
So it does make work.
Was it your very first brand new truck?
No, the Daffels, wasn't it? Out of Holland.
Right. That was brand new.
Yeah, that's brand new. And you've had brand new lorries, haven't you?
Yeah.
It can't be beaten, can it? It is much nicer.
It really is. So, you said you bought your dad a Mercedes.
That was
brand new as well, wasn't it? If I remember.
I kind of looked at it, you know, because he's running around an old R490 for a while, and you know, I thought I just got to, for want of a better word, shut him up. That's it. We're equal now.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I wish I'd took the hit on another Scania, but I thought I can't. They just can't. You know what I mean? They're just the price for them. I should have done really.
Yeah.
So he likes them. Yeah, they're nice inside, aren't they? I don't like driving them, but they're nice. They're nice to live in.
Yeah.
And they're good. They're reliable, good in fuel. So yeah, he's still got it now. That'll probably see him out. To be truth be told.
Yeah. So it's been a reliable truck.
Yeah. Can't really knock it really.
Great on fuel.
Yeah, he's looking after it, he's happy with it, you know, like as an operator, I think that they're all right motors, and obviously we had Mr. Ben Sheldrake talking me into it, obviously he won't be talking me into one now, will he?
That's right, yeah, our good friend Ben,
he's done that, and then what do we do? And now we went on Amazon through COVID.
Yeah.
It was just a necessity, wasn't it? It was just, there was no choice. It was no, but he actually was right in the end. But it was out enough, it really, wasn't it? But it was strange, that car. I actually thought, because obviously it was just, Amazon was just starting to come about through COVID, wasn't it? And they were building all these warehouses. I thought I'd be drawing my pension on there, a bit short-sighted of me, really. I thought, this isn't going to go away. This is the new future, you know?
Yeah.
But obviously it comes to a bit of an end, like it did for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It seemed to me, from an outsider, as just a driver, Amazon, from what I could read on sort of social media, and obviously you don't read into it all, but for a lot of small hauliers and whatnot, the rates were either astronomically brilliant or just beyond a joke. Was it sort of
I think it was a bit of a strange time through COVID. I think there was there was a lot of people on it, and they was. I don't know how best to describe it, really. It was, maybe it was a bit like, I mean, we was doing all right in it, but
some loads seem to pay an absolute fortune.
Some of them on there now, you might feel empty.
Yeah, and then others, like for a similar run, were just literally peanuts.
Well, my mate put it down to like, he got rid of the app, and he said it's like gambling. He said just sit there waiting for something to come in, you know, waiting for your number to come in, and it's like clicking. And there was, you know, people sitting up all night waiting, and you'd have to be able to, like, You'd have to have a real good trigger finger, don't you?
And even quite a few of the, I think the event companies were onto it as well. So they were doing the same. So
everyone. It was you know, a lot of people were worried about their livelihoods in general, weren't they? So it wasn't a time to be picky or you know, thinking, because no one knew how long it was going to last. Obviously, it's all right.
No, if someone says
this is going to be 2 years, you think, all right, I can plan for that. But
yeah,
everyone would think it's going to go on for a long time.
Wasn't it? I mean, I personally was lucky because obviously where I live in rural Suffolk, it's agriculture and farming just doesn't stop. So I was just flat out through COVID, you know, didn't stop.
It was one of the better industries to be in generally is haulage, wasn't it, during that
definitely.
Time?
Yeah, and it's funny as well because after COVID, once everything got back to normal, obviously at that time as well, I'd sort of got into driver training, and the amount of people that we would have come in who wanted to do their C&E because of COVID, they saw truck drivers still working and thought, I need a backup plan here in case we get shut. And I always remember there was an old boy come in, and he was 59, I think it was. He was 59 years old. He might have even been a little bit older. And he was like an athletics coach or something like that. Never, you know, had seen trucks on the road. That was it. There was no interest in it or whatever, but he just sort of wanted to protect himself in case there's a lockdown again. Yeah, and I just remember that the first morning we were walking to the truck, and for some reason I had it in my head that he'd already done his category C, and he just looked at this Arctic and he went, "Whoa, this is big, isn't it?" And I just said, "Oh, it's only a bit bigger than the Rigid that you've already driven." And he looked at me and went, "I haven't driven one." I was like, "What?" He said, "No, the biggest thing I've driven is a Luton van." And I was like, "Right, we're getting in this Arctic now for you to have a go, and you've never driven anything bigger than a transit van. This is going to be quite a quite a step.
I don't know, you got the nerves to do that, mate. I couldn't have the nerves to do that.
Well, the way I've always seen it is, if people are learning to drive a truck, they've already passed the car test, so they've got basic vehicular control. Whereas I couldn't be a car instructor, because you'll get people who literally cannot drive, and I couldn't do that. Whereas at least with a truck, they have passed the tests to a certain degree, so they know. And obviously nowadays, obviously everything's automatic, so you haven't got to think about that. So they know how to steer, and they know how to use indicator in theory.
Well, I beg to differ. I've seen some people with licenses.
I have to agree. I think with that particular chap, I took him for a bit of a drive around the estate, just to have a bit of a go. And where I used to work, it was sort of commonplace to get the reversing done sort of fairly quick. So it was quite a narrowish drive up to the reverse now. So I drove him up there just to save a bit of time, and then just sort of played about with the reversing, and then he then drove on. As it turned out, he failed only just. I think he just got one turn wrong in Ipswich, so he went up the curb. Other than that, his drive was fine, and he did go back and he did pass. So, but I dare say he's never driven a truck since.
You don't actually need any sort of special license to teach somebody to drive, do you? You can just anyone can do it.
Not in this country. Yeah. Not all you need is 2 years' experience or you need to have held the license for 2 years. So as of next year, I could teach people to drive buses because I did my test. But since I passed my bus test, I've never driven one. But because I hold the license, that's all you need. So
yeah,
and it's quite strange as well. If you look at the top of the tree, like the DVSA examiners, all they need to do is pass the DVSA or pass a test and get signed up by the DVSA, and that's it. And they can go out and tell you whether you're good enough to drive or not. And most of them have got no experience in transport at all.
I think there's a few MOT testers out there that don't know their way around a spanner as well.
Yeah, very true. But I'm not going to complain about them too much because my van's quite old.
Right, fair enough, yeah. Fair enough.
So, COVID obviously changed the world an awful lot. But it must have, you must have not necessarily done all right out of it because as such, but you have now got up to 3 trucks, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done all right out of it. It wasn't, you know, compared to some people, I suppose. But when it sort of dust settled, it was sort of like starting from scratch again. And now,
yeah.
Well, I don't want to give too much away, obviously, but no. I don't really have any, I just do kind of whatever comes in, really. I like, with regards to the European, and I look at European, like, generally, I have people saying to me, sometimes I'll get a freight forwarder come on saying, oh, got 26 pallets to go to Belgium on an email saying, like, and I had one the other week and I just don't even answer it half the time. I just think it's pointless. It's pointless. Yeah. You know, with regards to the European side of things, the only sort of English lorries going abroad now are doing something specialist or doing something where people are prepared to pay some sort of premium. And it was like that a lot of years ago. Like, when not obviously years and years ago, but when I started, it was still like that. There was still people, there was still a bit of a go at it. But now it's just, like I say, I'll only go abroad if it's something.
If it's worth doing.
Yeah, basically, it's worth doing. Whereas, you know, which sounds silly, but I know there's a lot of people out there that are just, I don't know why they're going to, you know, still doing it. But
is there anywhere in Europe still that you'd like to go to?
I know you had that sort of like serious bug to go here, there, and everywhere. And I did have it a little bit, and I was quite happy to get the T-shirt and give it the big, and I've been there. But to be honest with you, I'll be quite happy just Spain, Italy and Greece, that'd do me. If we could make France a bit shorter, that'd be even better.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm not too fussed really now. I've kind of scratched my itch, which is, you know, nothing like what you've done. But I'd still like going to Scandinavia, it's quite nice. You know, every now and then. I wouldn't want to pump up down every week, but it's still, I've done that job earlier in the year, didn't I? I went from Skellefteå, which is, it's a long way up. And I loaded, I was trying to see how far up it is. This is a good day's drive above Stockholm, maybe a bit more.
Yeah.
Down to Malaga.
Yeah.
And that was a lovely run.
That's quite something, isn't it?
Yeah. Finished loading in the evening. I was just chomping at the bit to go at it. I thought, you know, day or night don't mean nothing. I'll just run to the taco hours and what will be. And you start on days and you finish on, you know, you start nights and finish on days. And it was a really nice run down. I'd be quite happy to do that again.
Yeah.
But, something like comes up, I'll do it. But other than that, I'm quite happy to pop them down the M1 at the minute.
Fair enough. I mean, because you've done, obviously, outside the event work, you've done a few interesting little jobs here and there, sort of, you know, a bit out of the ordinary, because you've been to Albania, haven't you?
Yeah, I was trying to remember what that was now. Yeah, with Roger Gould.
Yeah. was my mate Richard on that as well? I can't remember.
I think it was, I shouldn't say too much, should I? But I think he was obviously definitely had some sort of involvement in it, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
No,
but, right. What do you think to Albania then? Dare I ask?
My mate just went there, and he just had about 3 weeks out, and he loved it. But I do think, because I felt the same about Romania, I do think maybe I'm a bit older, and maybe a little bit less, I don't know, what's the word? But like, I didn't like Romania, and I didn't like Albania for the same reason. And maybe I just maybe you've got a bit more understanding in my old age, but
yeah,
that corruption thing doesn't wash me. I don't like it. Where some people just don't mind it, that they just take it as part and parcel.
Yeah, because I actually went there for the first time last year in the pet van, and there was a bit of apprehension at the ball, because you obviously hear all the stories and whatnot, but I just found it to be a really friendly, welcoming, beautiful, mostly, place. I saw my first ever shanty town, other than like the tent towns in Paris and whatnot, but an actual full-on shanty town in a small town in Albania. Now, that was quite an eye-opener, but the rest of it was just, you know, scenery-wise, very picturesque.
Yeah, I mean, you probably got a better feel for it than I did. All we'd done was come off the boat and went up to Tirana and come back. But in that small moment, we was in the customs, there was a humanitarian aid lorry there, and the customs were robbing it blind. You know, he's bringing over humanitarian aid and they're robbing it.
And they're just telling,
yeah, and then there was, we pulled out of the dock and we went half a mile, and there was a woman, we didn't know what it was at first. It was, you know what the roads are like, obviously.
Yeah.
And there was a lorry parked up on the grass, and just before it, there was a load of a blood trail, and you didn't know, you know, it could have been anything, but at the end of it, there was a set of boots, like something out of Wizard of Oz laying there.
Yeah.
It was obviously a woman had been ground into the floor, gone underneath the trailer wheels.
Blimey.
You think it probably happens because they're trying to avoid the ruts.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's people walking along the edge of the road.
Yeah.
And it would have been a sponge job. And we went back and no one didn't look too excited about it. It happened.
Yeah. Just like matter of fact.
Business as normal.
Yeah.
Another one.
Quite an eye opener, really, unfortunately. Yeah. And you've also been in North Africa.
Yeah.
And that's one of, like I said to Chris recently, I've never done North Africa at all. So that's one that I still haven't ticked.
I'm certainly no expert on it. I've been once. it was a bit of an eye opener there. But we had a bit of an issue going in. We was doing an exhibition out there, and we had a load of leaflets on, and there was a town called something it shouldn't have been called, and you know, it was all about money and et cetera.
Yes,
and we had that Tangier, what's it called?
Tangier Med, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. That's a bit of a full on place. We'd got on the boat, and you meant to stamp your passport on the boat. No one told us. I was nervous. Yeah, and I come off the boat, and I was on the link span, and the bloke's shouting and screaming at me, passport, give him the passport, and he's just told me to park up and walked off with my passport. And I thought, I'm not even at the terra firma yet, and I've had my passport taken off me.
Yeah,
but it's because we hadn't got it stamped on the boat. I had to go back on the boat, blah blah. But I didn't even want to leave the lorry there. You know, all this sort of carrying. And it's one of them places. It's you've probably been places like, you know, when they're all just trying to drive. You've got to go through 20 trucks through one gap, and it's, you know, all just fine for this. And you think, if they hit me, that's it. There's no insurance swapping details. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And then we went down to Marrakesh and we had about 10 days down there. No, maybe about 8 days at a hotel. And it was really nice. It was a swimming pool and all that. But then we got robbed in Marrakesh, but a knife point by some kids. So that put a bit of a down, a bit of a down on it. And then there's two blokes in the port in there, and they run a bit of a scam, trying to scam all the drivers there, like trying to make out their customs. And I know a bloke who's been going there for years. Like, he's been going there, you know, since Davis Turner days, and he knows these kids. He knows these two people since they're children. And he said, even though he's friends with him, like, and he's known him years, he said, they still try and turn him over. He goes there. So, you know what I mean? You've got no chance.
Yeah.
You know, but overall, compared to what some people was, what I've heard some people having go on there, it was quite a painless trip. So it's like France over there. The motorway, it's all, you know, like the same with the tolls and all that.
It was a big
French influence there. But hey, it's 24, etc. It was a lot of years I went. I bet it's probably come up a bit more since then as well.
Yeah.
But you just got to watch, obviously, the immigrant thing over as well. It's
they're quite ruthless with it as well, aren't they?
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think the customs people are pretty ruthless with it as well. So that's right. I like our lot.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's an interesting thing, but I still think the best thing about going there is probably the run through Spain.
Yeah. I mean, we've discussed this before as well. I mean, I always love going to Spain and Portugal, and I'm not a massive fan of going to Italy, whereas you're more Italy, aren't you?
No, but do you know what? I was thinking that you saying that the other day, and I remember you said it probably years ago, and I like Italy because I think Italy is a good driver for a good country for trucking. You know, everywhere's a restaurant you can park here. People are nice in the factories. But if I was to base my experience of Italy off that Sargo, I wouldn't like Italy either. Robbing the cab and things like that, and then just walking around Milan, I do think it's probably. And even if I was to go on holiday, I like it. But I just think for truck driving, it's you know, when you actually get about that, it's a great country for that. And so Spain, isn't it? Spain is a great country for driving and Portugal, etc.
Yeah.
Bars and restaurants everywhere. But the thing I like about Spain is you can pull into some no marked town at like 2 a.m. and there'll be some bar open still.
Yes. Serving
coffee.
Absolutely.
And yeah. It's just like, say, out of dust till dawn, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it just sort of makes me think of the Wild West, sort of driving across like the, you know, just like the desert sort of high. And it just,
they've got some infrastructure there. I mean, you look around, they've still put a lot of infrastructure in there. Some of them bridges and roads and things like that. I think it's a lot, it's a big country. They've got, you know, they've made it. I mean, I've been down there in a car. Obviously, you've been down there in a van, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's even more fun in the car because you can actually get a bit of a march on, can't you, as well?
Yes.
Obviously, the lorry is what it is, but...
Yeah.
And it's just uninterrupted, isn't it? So you can just keep driving and driving.
But it was always nice as well when I had time to get off and get on the nationals and just sort of trundle about, you know, just running parallel with the paved motorways and really enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, I think they've done away with a few of them and paved motorways. Now, there's still some down there, but, I mean... I think it's a bit cheaper to go down there now.
Yeah, but driving a DAF could be quite hard work with the hills. Has to be said.
You was never happy about the 410, was you?
It was
it was the reason you left, wasn't it?
Under pound, I think, sort of comes to mind. Blimey, just even empty running up a hill. I'm changing down through the box.
I'll tell you a story. My mate bought my old lorry off me, the blue one, and he'd come up the hill in Spain. And that did like that. Well, I had that. Was it the white one? No, the blue one. I was coming up from Germany when he was following me once. It wasn't a very old lorry then, and it was overheating. But it was like 38 degrees. That's all right. And if you look at the manual, it says it only operates into like plus 36 or something stupid like that. And it doesn't start overheating. And he took it down to Spain. And then he come up a big long drag and overheated and split a water pipe. And a van pulled up next to him at the hard shoulder, and he's like, "Oh, just go, you know, go away, whatever you want, go away." And this bloke's talking to him in Spanish. So come here. So he's like, "Oh, all right, what?" And he goes to the top of this hill, goes into this workshop, and this geezer's got like a whole array of these hoses for these different lorries.
Yeah.
So he lives at the top of this hill, you know what I mean? And he's calling the
market. Know your
audience. Yeah. And he said, "How much?" I don't know how much he paid for it, but it was a pittance. So he said, "If he said 100 quid, I'd give it to him."
Yeah.
But so he's quite happy about that. But I bet he's got a lot of daff up his hill. I know that.
Yeah, I should say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dear. So, I mean, in your experience, obviously, you've run Volvo, DAF, Scania, Merc. You've had quite a broad range there, which has been the best as such.
I hate to say it just to sound like everyone else, but it is obviously the Scania, isn't it? I say it to my mate, and they sort of go on like, "Oh, you know, V8 or V8. It's like, no, it's not. It is the nicest truck to drive that I've driven.
I've only driven one of them. I still call them like a new Scania, even though they've been out quite a few years, just I think it's my age. But I've only driven one, and I was not a massive Scania fan up until that point, because I'd driven the R, like the 4 Series, the R's, and I just always thought they could have been a lot better. But I drove like this one of MDF's, and admittedly is a very well-spec truck, because Mark Farrer at MDF knows how to spec a truck and make it a nice place for a driver. And it was a fantastic drive.
They're like big Audis, aren't they? They're just the steering's just spot on, everything about it. I mean, my mate won't appreciate me saying this, but obviously I've got that Merc, and it's a great truck. But I drove back from the workshop the other day, and I was just like, "Oh, get me out of this thing."
Yeah, it's like driving a Model T Ford, isn't it? To be honest, compared with the Scania,
yeah, he's you know, it is a is the best truck on the road, really, but
yeah,
it comes at a price, now, I suppose.
Yeah, very true. But I dare say, I'm going to take a guess here as well, though, that your actual favourite truck in your fleet is not actually one that's on the road earning money all the time, I hasten to add.
No. Well, hopefully it will one day be out there again, but maybe next summer, but the Turbo Star.
So you're very lucky and you actually own a Turbo Star. I think
a Turbo Star, yeah, 1948. Yeah, it was something. Obviously, from growing up with my dad, having that 1936, it was sort of burning away at me over the years. And obviously, when I was younger, I couldn't really justify it. And the more I went to Italy, every time I was in Italy, I'd see one. I'd be over in the service. Yeah. I'd be over, just soak it up. You know what I mean? Just have a walk around and soak it all up.
Pure nostalgia.
Yeah. I'd see one on the motorway, my neck would snap round, and I thought, I do want one of them. And there's a bloke down in them. I did start thinking I'll bring one back from Italy. You know, I'll do that. And it was all going around in my head. And there's a lad down in near Rome. He's got a black one, special. You know, It's on steel suspension, but he's done a really nice job restoring it.
Yeah.
And I did bid him on it, but he was saying that's not enough. And I was saying, what do you want? But he wouldn't say what he wanted. And I thought, well, you know, I don't even know if I'd give you what I said I'd give you. Really, I was doing my limit, but. It didn't come on, but now in hindsight, knowing what I know now, the fact that he wanted more money does make sense, because they are money to get these things, like even half right, is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So roll forward a few years, I was at Truckfest Southeast and I met Justin Warrior with a black F-16.
Yeah, good old Justin.
Yeah, and I was telling him about my love for Turbo Stars, and he said, oh, I know there's one for sale. On English plates, and it's really? All up together. And I thought, he can't be.
This is too good to be true.
And he told me that John Thomas, you know, Ken Thomas.
Yes, yeah.
He had it. So he sort of planted the seed.
Yeah.
And I was driving past Whiz Beach, and I thought, I'll ring him. Let's go and have a look here.
And then
on the way into it, I thought, I'd just talking myself into it. I thought, just get it. It's going to be a 30-year-old lorry. It's not going to look new. It's going to have rust on it. It's going to have lumps out of it. Just get it, because there ain't another one around the corner. That's it. It's that or nothing.
Yeah.
And I did. I sort of went there, and I did say to him, I said, I'll have to borrow your trailer and take it home right now. So, because if I leave you without buying it, I will talk myself out of it. But there's no, I can't be leaving a deposit and coming back or anything like that. So, I did. I took it home. And then my friend said to me, you want to work that for a little bit, because if you just start stripping it, it was just down to a money pit, and you won't know what you've got, and blah, blah, blah. And he was right, really. And I did. I got it MOT'd. I took it off privately registered, so it was commercial.
Yeah.
Put it on the O-license. And I'd done a few trips around the UK and here and there, and then job caught at Spain.
Yeah.
It was on the horizon for a while, and it was a free truck job down there.
Yeah.
And it was sitting down there for like a week or two or something. So it had been, it had earned the same money. Well, it did earn the same money my Scania earned. So If I can get it down there, it'd be all right. But I thought I had to have a few contingencies in place in case it didn't. I thought if it does let me down, I can.
Yeah, I've got a backup.
Got a backup, because obviously it's an event job, and I can't be risking me.
Can't be late, no.
No, exactly. You can't be. That's the end of it. So, I got it up together. I put a set of alleys in it, so it looked a bit more presentable, because I hadn't really done much with it to that point.
Yeah.
And my dad drove my lorry down. My friend drove my other lorry down. My dad went down on the longboat, and I went down with my friend. In that R series, and come around the N25 bird strike. Straight, I took the visor straight out. I just sat there. I thought, of all the visors to it, you know what I mean? There's probably not another. There's certainly not another one in this country for sale. I know that much.
No.
I thought, right, okay, brilliant. So I was all like, I have to please myself. And anyway, got it loaded. Took the rest of the visor off, and we went down the long way down Macon. But I don't want to. I don't want to test it. You know what I mean? It wasn't heavy, but I thought, I just don't want to tempt fate. So we went down that way. We went down to a route years down near Leon. We parked up for the night, and it was like a dust bowl, obviously. And I woke up, before it started that night, I walked back towards the lorry, walked back across the dust bowl, sitting there, and I thought, it didn't have to take me back. You know, it was like 30 years ago, everywhere was a dust bowl, wasn't it? When he's going, old man, where you walked across was a dust bowl, and walking out of the restaurant, it's like late at night, back towards the lorry. And I thought, this is sort of, reminiscent of it.
Yeah.
And then it sort of like, when I got up in the morning, I was brushing my teeth out, I got a photo of it somewhere. I took a throw of it down the side of the lorry. Lorry ticking over that old diesel burning smell.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, that loud sound. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Proper trucker style. Everyone's woke up at 5 and what's that?
Yeah.
but there was all people taking photos of it through France. I mean, you don't see them. You don't really see them in Italy. I mean, you probably see them in Albania. You do see them in Albania, don't you?
Yes, you do.
You don't, you know, don't see it as chucking to a lad in Greece. He said, they're done in Greece. He said, they don't have them at all there.
No.
Yeah, so we went down there, tipped the job, parked about out of Fuller, and I was down there for a few days, and I thought, I've got, it's in the magazine, isn't it? I've got to sort this visor out, I can't have it, so go with some bloke in Italy, we drove over there in the car and bought it. It was a long way, it even seemed a long way in a car.
So how far roughly is it? Because you were in Madrid, weren't you, if I remember right?
No, it was in
Barcelona.
Barcelona, went from there to Milan.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, just hammered it over there in a car, basically, and bought this visor, and because it's a like a 30-year-old visor, it's still they're like obviously perspex, but they're so brittle.
Yeah.
You look at them and they'll break.
Yeah.
And it was like the crown jewels in the back of the car. Well, between the seats, I think it must have been.
So
we went back and fitted that up, so that made me happy for that. And then on the way back, we loaded up, and the truck was a little bit early. Oh, I said it in the magazine, didn't I?
Yeah,
it did. We went up that hill, and he said, my mate's still egging me on. I thought, right, we'll go for it. And I did panic going up that Malore stretch, going up there. I did panic a little bit. I started thinking, oh no, I've tempted fate and I'm paying the price now. But yeah, it cleared all right and it done it good. And I got it back. As soon as I got it home, put it in the trailer and I started stripping it down. And
fantastic.
Yeah. And now it's still.
It's a bit.
Well, not quite. It's sort of getting back.
It's getting there. Yeah.
It's getting there. Hopefully this summer, mate. Hopefully we'll have it this summer. But I'm going to have to put. Probably have to put a smart 2 digi taco in it if I want to get any real use out of it.
Yeah,
which would be interesting to see how that's going to work.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's kind of the plan. I don't really want to just. It's not one of them things I want to just wheel out to a
show occasionally.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. You've got to drive it and use it to enjoy it, haven't you?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
And it doesn't do them any good just sitting about. Seals perish and stuff. No, if they're not used, yeah, it needs to have a little run now and again, doesn't it?
Yeah, but so it's sort of a. I've ticked that box anyway for now, anyway, but...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 99% certain there's nobody else in the UK with a still-working Turbostar.
Oh, there is a... Well, I don't know, it works. There's some lads in Ireland gone, aren't there? Yeah.
But they're not working, are they? I know yours doesn't work all the time, but...
No, I think I have seen the trailers on and things like that here and there, but the same thing as I'll probably, you know, just a quick shunt here and there, but I do want to take it down to Italy. That is the plan, basically.
Yeah.
But
have you not done Italy already then? In it?
Not in that. No, you'd have to go down to that Ventimiglia. But there's a lovely restaurant down at that. It's down. What's it called? Camion Trattoria. I kept thinking of. I just need to get it down here. Well, it's right on the coast. I thought, if we get it down here, down the road, back up.
Yeah.
You know, and then that'll be that box ticked.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the problem is I need to change all the O's and it, make sure it's 100% mechanical, just so you can enjoy the journey more rather than thinking, you know,
worrying about it. Yeah, basically. But that would be amazing, wouldn't it? It really would.
Yeah. It's gonna be. Yeah, but that's the plan. Say to work towards anyway.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. I think that'd be worthy of a magazine feature again as well. Get the old girl back in there. I think that would certainly raise a few smiles without a doubt. So
yeah, definitely more one, that's sure.
Yeah,
but interestingly enough, considering them, you know, my dad hasn't even driven it. He's got no interest in it.
Really?
Yeah, it's strange.
He's just like, I've done that. I've got my modern truck now. Yeah, I've got my modern comfy truck now. Well, comfy in inverted commas. Which is quite surprising. No nostalgia at all.
No, not really. I don't know, really. Like I say, I'll sit in your driver. No, you're right. Fair enough.
Fair do. I'll drive it and enjoy it then.
I'll tell you one thing you do think about them lorries, though, is that it's I suppose car transport drivers have it now, but living in lorries like that is hard work.
Yeah, it is hard work. Yeah,
you get dressed in the mornings.
Yeah, on the bunk. You soon get
used. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. Yesterday... No, it was this morning on my way down the A143. It was still dark, and just north of Stanton on the A143 in Suffolk, there's a big lay-by. And as I went past this morning, so it's November time, there was somebody doing a night out in an FL10 with a flatbed on.
What a hero.
I kid you not, yeah. I couldn't believe it. As I went past, I did a proper double take. It's like, have I just seen that as an FL10? And I was like, fantastic. So he would have been the same, like everything off of the bunk, you know, onto the passenger seat,
and then vice versa.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I certainly don't miss about the smaller cab.
I done a night out in the stockyard in it, and you walk back across the car park, your bottom lip goes a little bit, you know. It wasn't the glory run down to Spain, so it was just the stockyard, and I was thinking, brilliant, now I've got to get in that thing. It's got no night here, and it was like January.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got two duvets.
Yeah.
And you think, I might as well have a pint here, because I don't want to go back to that lorry.
Yeah.
And then you wake up, and the worst thing is them lorries, is like waking up in the morning. So such a horrible way to start your day. it's still part of the fun, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, if you had a big space cab, it wouldn't be quite the same, would it?
No. But you know, it's, I think it's one of the things as well. If you're driving an American lorry over here, or whatever, I think people sort of think, look how lucky he is. Because obviously, I've done that trip to America, didn't I?
Yeah.
And we're driving over there, and you don't really think, oh, it's all right, everyone's got one.
Yeah.
But I think it's just you look around what other people have got and think, you have to cut this, Matt.
Yeah, go on then.
I'm just waffling bollocks now.
No, you're all right.
I'm trying to think, is it basically you don't mind having something small as long as everyone else has got something small?
Yeah.
I think when you're looking around, if you was like these lorries now, if you was driving one of these around America, you'd think, what? Yeah. You know, why is, I've got to get in that, and they're in there.
Yeah, they've got that big, massive sleeper, and I've got this titchy little thing. Yeah.
So it's, But
it's worth having that Ovigo just for that Italian run that will come off.
Yeah, it will come off. It'll happen, and then that'll be it. Then it'll be haulage completed. I'll go and do something else.
That's right. Yeah, you can retire. you go and work in the city with your brothers.
Fantastic.
Well, our time is pretty much up now, mate. It's really flown past. I've really enjoyed it. It's been great. And perhaps we'll check in next year again and see how it's all going and how
it's going. Yeah, well, I'll have a story in your belt with that turbo.
I'm sure you will do. So anyway, we'll finish this one off for now, Matt. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Okay. No worries. Cheers.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Speak to you soon, Matt. Thanks,
Matt. Cheers, mate. Ta-da.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.